DTY Mobile.
4DTY, is it? KD2BNG, how you doing?
4DTY. How's it going today, sir?
Not bad. I'm actually up early today. It's 10 o'clock and I haven't, yeah, you know, you retire from the world and you start to do things like sleep late.
There, that must be nice. I'm not there yet. Actually, I'm not sure if I'll ever be to retirement, but hopefully one day.
Like this, only slower. Now, I need to find something else than to keep busy. I mean, you know, I when I did engineering work, it was always something, always some problem you have to solve. And now, you know, if there's nothing to keep your mind focused on, it's like, okay, how do I put my shoes on? I can almost feel my mental abilities starting to go.
I hear you. I guess after doing that type of work and then slowing way down when you're a constant problem solver, I can see what you mean by that.
Well, you know, too, I used to do computer programming, software design, and, you know, I had one supervisor who would come into my office, sit to one side of me, like almost just out of my peripheral vision, and he'd sit there and watch me doing what? You know, I don't know. Developing computer code, that sort of thing, is mostly a lot of sitting around. Hey, what are you doing all day? Well, I'm thinking. Sometimes I write some of it in a notebook, and then eventually I get to the point where I can start. You know, that's the problem with managing engineers, is measuring productivity.
Always working if you're thinking, at least thinking about the problem. But I hear that. I used to do construction, and it worked a lot differently than that. If you didn't get a certain amount of walls or roofs or windows in or whatever, then that's how they measured your productivity. So,
you know, in most other fields, there's obvious ways to measure productivity. You know, how much concrete got poured today, or how many windows or doors went in. In your case, you know, how many automobiles or whatever it is you're making got produced today. But, you know, mostly it's, I can come in and see you not working. But, you know, I guess also with creative people and with engineering people, yeah, you know, what are you expecting to see? I should get a whiteboard and just start scribbling gibberish on it just so it looks like I'm doing something. But, you know, and I had a few good managers that understood that, but a lot of them didn't.
Games of tic-tac-toe up there. But, no, that's hilarious. Yeah, so how do you measure productivity in that case? And I guess it's a problem solved eventually.
The eventual part that, you know, that managers don't like, and it's the fact that they don't actually have, like, any solid progress markers. Or no, it's supposed to be, how many lines of code can you write in a day? You know, which is kind of equally meaningless. And sometimes the ones who don't understand the most are like first-line management, which, you know, that puzzles me. Hey, you used to do this job. Are you telling me you no longer know what we do anymore? Because sometimes they were the worst at being managers. You know, they would revert to the old habit of, well, I didn't see you do nothing all day. And, you know, and presumably they're the ones who, a year ago, got promoted to whatever it was, the told that I got to exclude the cat out of here. First, they were the ones who just got promoted.
Because they didn't get any work done while they had the job, so they knew how little they got done.
It is. I think in management it's called the Peter Principle. People get promoted up to their level of incompetence. So you get promoted until you're at the level where, you know, you're in over your head. And then you generally tend to remain there. They don't promote you anymore. But, yeah, you know, I've seen that. Mostly I was never in any one place long enough to really have to deal with the corporate hierarchy. But, yeah, management of engineering and creative types is it's a skill. Actually, management in general is a skill. People don't realize that. Administration is a skill. And it's a skill, quite frankly, which, you know, a lot of people aren't that well suited for. It doesn't matter how good you were at your regular job. It's easy to discount managers as being a bunch of, I don't know if you've seen the comic strip Dilbert. It's easier to dismiss management as being, you know, a bunch of clueless idiots. But, you know, administration is a skill.
With that, and I don't think the next person should always raise up from that position. They should fill that position because they're a good manager. But I totally agree and understand. I was a production manager for a while, and yes, totally agree that's a skill set. But in my case, it worked to my benefit because I did know how to do the job. So I knew how to kind of make it flow a little bit better and make sure people had what they needed.
That is finding better ways to do the job. I had one manager who told me, you know, you're just about the laziest employee I've ever had. And when I started to protest, he said, no, you don't understand. That's actually not a bad thing. If it means working smarter instead of harder. If there's a way to take a shortcut without compromising the process, you'll probably find it. I said, yeah, that's me. That's engineers in general. We want to do as little as possible.
I had built this house for this, we were building this house for this engineer. And it was hilarious because he would come out there and watch us build it. And every now and then he tried to tell us how we could do it easier. And so, mind you, I mean, the people I was working with, I mean, they built hundreds of houses. You know, we just built one house at a time, but still lots of them. And so that was, our specialty. And so he came out there, and he was an elevator engineer. And so he came out there to tell us that we were going to do it better. And so the guy says, listen, you hired us for this, so either let us do it or you do it. Pick one.
Tend to get annoying when it comes to telling other people how to do their job. You sure that's enough concrete you're putting in that wall? The stress against that wall looks like it's going to be more than that. Hey, man, don't tell me how to do my job. Of course, you don't want to say that, but... yeah, they're usually the worst customers because they think they could, whatever it is, they could do the job better. And that's why I think a lot of engineering types tend to be do-it-yourselfers, because I'm the only one who can manage. No one else understands the job, including people that have done it for years.
I think my boss eventually ended up telling him that, in a very nice way, because he was a nice man. He ended up saying, listen, you know, you hired me to do this, and this is as we're putting the roof on. Mind you, you know, we built this house from the ground up, and that's probably a good 5,000-6,000 square feet. We built this thing from the ground up, and as we're putting the roof on, the engineer still, saying, well, you should do it this way. He's like, listen, you hired me to do this. You told us, all these things. Like, just let me do my job. Like, just leave me alone. Let me do my job. We make a mistake. That's fine, but just let me do my job. And, the guy loved the house. He was tickled pink when we were finished. But yeah, it was removing him from the mix that finally helped us get our job done faster. But I hear you there. But anyways, I'm to my next location. But it was great talking to you, sir.
From you, too. I don't think I've heard your call sign before. I think I gave you mine. It's Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf. And right now I'm in Gray Court. Probably got to go out in a couple of minutes and do some shopping. I don't think there's any kind of food anywhere. But other than that, this is getting to be my day. So if you retire, you know, have something to keep you busy.
Can you give me your call sign and name one more time so I can write it down?
Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf. My name's Glenn. Golf Lima Echo November.
And this is KI4DTY. Yeah, I'm on every now and then. I've kind of been MIA lately, just with my work. I own my own business, and so it was just it's just been easier to just kind of do my thing for a little while. But it was a pleasure talking to you, sir, and I hope to talk to you again. And enjoy your retirement and the rest of your day, and try not to spend too much money grocery shopping. This is KI4DTY, and I'll be 7-3 on your last.
Hi, KD2BNG. Good talking to you. Hang around for the 9 p.m. net, if anyone else does. otherwise, I'll say 73s, and we'll talk to you later.
YK and 4BWA.
What's that?
Hey Glenn, hey Daniel, I just heard y'all talking in there, and I just wanted to give you a little axiom. $100 an hour if I do it, $200 an hour if you help.
Thing about that, I forget where I read this, guy takes his, I don't know, let's say a hunter or a shooter. He takes his shotgun to the gunsmith to be repaired. Hey, this is jammed up. I don't know what the heck. The gunsmith takes it, and about 30 seconds later comes back perfectly working. That'll be a dollar. Really? Only a dollar? How did you do that so fast? Okay, that'll be $10. Wait, why $10? Well, a dollar if I do it, and $10 if I tell you how to do it.
That. Well, I gotta go. See you later. Bye, Steve.
Daniel, have a good day, buddy. And be careful out there. And Glenn, I'm gonna go ahead and kind of get on the side also. Let you get out to the store. You have a good day too, buddy. KN4VWA. I'm just mobiling along, headed towards the barn.
Problem. Yeah, let me get out of here. Well, there's a radio in the car. I can always get on the air from there. But we'll talk to y'all later. KD2BNG. To J Mobile. 7J, KD2BNG. How you been? Not a whole lot now. Gotta do grocery shopping. Really don't want to go out in this heat. Although, actually, the car has pretty good air conditioning. Probably better air conditioning than I have here. You know, this place never had central air. So, yeah, maybe I'll leave now while it's, you know... It'll be cooler if, it's cooler outside than it is here.
It's right now, but it's going to heat up here in Hendersonville. It's going to be into the 90s or close to the 90s or something. Hot, that's all I know. So... And my pool needs vacuuming, so that's a good excuse for me to get out there and vacuum the pool and take a swim and cool down later.
Those automated pool vacuums that, are they still around? They crawl around the bottom of the pool, and they, suck up whatever, I don't know much about swimming pools, whatever algae or whatever it is they got to scrape off. You got to... You got to get with the times to get the automatic pool vacuum.
I just hook the hose up. Takes me about 15 minutes. Get in the pool while I'm doing it. And it's really all I get is leaks. You know, make it to the bottom of the pool or a little bit of dust or dirt or whatever. If you got algae, well, that's a problem. yeah, you don't want to be vacuuming up algae, that's for sure.
Saying like sweep and vacuum or whatever, the leaves and debris and other stuff that falls in. Yeah, I guess you don't want to try to vacuum out the algae. Besides, I think that's what the chlorine is supposed to prevent.
I haven't had that problem this year at all. My pool's been crystal clear with very low maintenance. I switched over to salt water system at the beginning of this year, and it has done a really nice job so far, knock on wood.
Wood, because not too many things naturally want to grow in salt water. And swimming in salt water, I suppose, I don't know, is that supposed to be good for your skin? That would dry out your skin. Swimming in salt water had some health benefit, I forget what it was.
Well, salt water, algae will grow in salt water, but if you keep your pool balanced properly, you generally won't have that. And that's what the salt water generator does. It produces chlorine so that you don't have to add chlorine. It really maintains it for you. It's a lot easier to maintain. And as far as salt water on your skin and all of that, it is a very, very, very low content of salt. You can barely even taste it in the water. It's pretty low. And it's not like just getting out of the ocean where you got to go shower off with fresh water. It's not what one might think.
Slightly salty. Because even the ocean, I don't think, is what percentage salt. Probably less than 5%, 2 or 3%. So this would have to be less than that. Actually, that's a good trivia question I got to find out now. What's the salt concentration of the ocean?
No idea. I have no idea. Couldn't tell you. But anyway, that's how it works, and it does a pretty good job. So really, it's just a matter of, I don't even have to vacuum mine that much. Maybe once every couple of weeks. Maybe once a week, if that.
Having something like a swimming pool for a day like today. You know, of course, those above-ground pools just, you know, don't have any class. You got to build a real pool. You got to dig a hole and put concrete and whatever you do to build a pool. And not an expensive, not a cheap thing to put in a proper swimming pool. I guess what I heard years ago is if you ever want to sell your house, it adds 10 grand or 20 grand to the value of your house, but I don't even know if that's true.
In-ground pools are real expensive. My brother just put one in Florida, and I don't know how much he spent, but he spent a lot. And I actually, my pool is above ground. I've got a deck around it. But I where my house is, I couldn't put an in-ground pool in, I don't think, just because of the septic and what have you. But anyway, my pool is above ground with a deck. I'm happy with it, although if it was up to me, I wouldn't have no pool because there's nothing but a big money hole. It's my wife that insists we have this money hole. So now I'm just trying to make it easier for me to take care of it.
Sorry for suggesting that that had no class, so that was a redneck thing. No, it's a whole hell of a lot cheaper, the above-ground pool. It's probably a tenth of the price. Well, I don't know, I'm just guessing. I don't know recently what it even cost to put in a swimming pool. It's tens of thousands of dollars for an in-ground pool.
In-ground pools are not inexpensive anymore. You used to be able to get them. Well, yeah, that's not true. You can buy a less expensive above-ground pool or a more expensive above-ground pool, and there is definitely a huge difference in the stuff you buy at Walmart, for example, versus what you buy in, like, a Doughboy, which is what I have, Doughboy. There's a lot of differences, but you're still in the $5,000 to $6,000 range just on an above ground pool by the time you get it all done with filter and water and everything else that goes along with it.
It's money for me to spend even $5,000 or $6,000. on, you know, property improvements, you're not really going to recover anyway. Although I'm not planning on moving out of here anytime soon anyhow. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of, I still have, this is a double-wide mobile home. I still have French doors that go nowhere. They open up onto a 3 or 4 foot drop. So that was the thing I wanted to do for years was, you know, build some kind of patio or balcony or deck out there. But even that's expensive. It's expensive now to even to get the lumber. You know, the lumber might be $5,000. You know, I don't have any idea.
Anyway, the best pool you can buy is go to Walmart, buy you one of them little kiddie pools, set it up there out on your lawn, your patio, your deck with a garden chair, lawn chair. Fill it up with cold water, put your feet in it, and you'll be a happy camper all day long.
Oh, that just sounds like such a redneck thing to do. But yeah, you're right. All you really got to do is have enough water to soak your feet, or at least soak yourself up to your waist. And, you know, I guess that's enough. Well, hey, I got a bathtub. You know, that'll work too. I may have to sit in some, a nice, you know, cold bath later on. That'll cool you off in the summer. Warm you up in the winter, too, because I don't really have any heat in this place either. So one of the best ways to warm up your core is just sit in a hot bath, because, you know, water conducts, obviously, heat conducts heat much better. So, yeah, we'll do the bathtub thing for a while.
Absolutely the truth. There's a guy in Belgium, and he's a ham. I've talked to him many, many, many times, and after talking to him on air several times, I visited his QRZ page, and there's a picture of him. He went and got him one of them big, huge, green garbage cans that, they're big. I've got three of them, and he's filled that up with water, and he gets in it. That's his pool, and he's got himself a cocktail. That's his picture on his QRZ page.
To the 55-gallon drum, because I've got a bunch of those. You know, fill that up with chlorine, rinse it out, put some water in it. Yeah, the vertical pool, jump into a 55-gallon drum. Now, this would have to be a good deal bigger. One of those IBC shipping containers, you know, the containers, the 1,000-liter containers that are for shipping liquids, you know, cut the top off that and make a pool.
They sell these at Home Depot and Lowe's, big, heavy-duty garbage cans, type glass. They are stout, and that's what this guy's using. And they make three sizes. This one's the gigantic size. But, hey, Glenn, listen, I'm pulling into my first stop. Good to hear you this morning. Hopefully you stay cool. I got to run inside the store here. We'll catch you again. ND7J73.
Hey, KD2BNG. Okay, 73s. You have a good rest of your day. Talk to you later.